The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The opinions expressed by the guests of this show do not necessarily express the opinions of Dr. Weinerman or Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Philadelphia's premier rehabilitation, physical therapy, and chiropractic facility, located in the heart of Center City, Philadelphia. Here are your hosts, Joe Krause, Marla Vitarello, and Joe Dougherty.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, this is the Pain and Wellness Hour on a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I am happy to welcome into the broadcast my lovely co-host, Marla Vitarello.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Our guest today on the program, Jordan Freiter of Stark & Stark. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you, and as usual, we are happy to bring into the program to launch the show our wellness segment with Dr. Albert Talone of Weinerman Pain and Wellness, our sponsor. Doc, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Hi, Dr. T.
Hi, Marla. How are you?
Good. It's always good hearing your voice.
I'll second that. So we're going to talk about, as we start the show off, UV. Marla, you want to?
Yeah. Doc, we're going to talk about UV protection and hydration, since this beautiful weather is welcoming us to this 70s and hopefully 80s range soon.
That's correct. I think spring has finally arrived. It's finally figured out. And I think winter has left for good.
Just look at the cars and see all the pollen on the cars.
Oh, my goodness. Look at the cars right now. They're covered. Well, that's the pollen we've been talking about. And that's what people are breathing in their heads and sucking into their chest, you know. And it's amazing how much, you know, people don't understand. But there's literally thousands, if not millions of tons of that suspended in the air. I mean, that's all the plant life is shedding its pollen. So it's amazing.
That's why everybody loses their voice. My voice sounds like I'm like a 75-year-old smoker, Doc. You know, it's from all the pollen.
What's on your car is in your head and lungs.
That's incredible. And you know, I know we're going to talk about the UV protection, but the other day we were leaving the studio, and I've never been diagnosed with allergies or anything like that, but I know I must be, I must have developed an allergy to pollen, because I was choking, and so I'm gonna have to deal with that at my young age. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well,
but
you're only 25, so
absolutely. Wow. That's why I love you, Marla.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the UV protection. You know, you got the sun's going to be a prevalent part of our lives, thank God, at this point.
Until the weekend, Joe Day.
Exactly. Until we want to have fun. Yeah. But the interesting thing, Doc, is, let's talk about the damage that the sun can create, and then talk about why it's so important to have protection.
Well, as we said, spring's made its debut, and oftentimes what happens, we have very short springs because we'll spring right into summer. And those long, hot, humid, sunny days will be here, and everybody's going to be heading outdoors and shedding clothes and wanting to get the sun. And that's important because the sun is essential to make vitamin D. But after about 30, 60 minutes direct exposure in the sun, you can run into trouble, with that longer than that exposure, longer than an hour exposure. So the exposure is good because to make vitamin D, but after that, you should apply sunscreen, a block of the UV radiation that occurs from the sunlight, and eventually, repeated prolonged exposure of the sunlight can create serious skin issues, especially over the long term for the regular sunbathers. As you get older, you'll find all the effects of that long exposed sun without the protection of UV screening.
Doc, so I have to ask this question. So, you know, I'm Paisan. I have, you know, olive skin, a little dark, but I am in the room with at least one Irish guy over here who's a little milky white this time of year. Mm-hmm. Jordan, I don't know, what nationality are you?
I got a little Irish blood. I'm a mutt, really.
Okay, so you're kind of mixed.
Yeah, some Eastern European, but yeah, it's so, the same lines.
I mean, I never wear sunscreen because I never burn.
Right.
So what do you think, Doc? I mean, is this – I know, obviously, in being
does it matter? Does it – but, I mean, does your skin type – because that's a great question. Does your skin type matter in regards to the sun?
Well, it does in some respect, but we never get into that when we make these recommendations. We don't make the recommendations based on whether you're –
nationality,
you
know, is
complexioned of any or
skin color.
Like that, or make
sure, the color.
Basically, this ultraviolet radiation affects everybody. It's the UV. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. But it's happening in the heat of the sun, and it makes no difference, you know, color, creed, or anything like that. Whether you're fair,
kids are dark too. So that's the thing.
You'll burn quicker.
My kids, you know, are dark, Doc. I'm sorry. My kids are dark, too, so I fail a lot of times as a parent in putting, you know, sunscreen on them and things like that because they never burn either, which you're telling me that's wrong, right?
Well, my question would be, just because you don't burn, does it mean that you don't, you know...
You're still getting the exposure,
You get the exposure.
No, exactly. Even though you have dark pigmented skin and you don't appear to be burned, that doesn't make any difference. You're still absorbing the UV rays. And like I said, you can't see that always, but you're absorbing that, and you need block regardless of your complexion, regardless of that. You have to use a sunblock. You know, after you're out there for 30, 45 minutes, you should begin to apply a sunblock. You don't want to block it for the entire time because you do need the sun exposure. But, you know, still, even with the sunblock, some is getting through. And you may also want to consider getting clothing today, summer clothing, that is UV protected. You can get that. And also,
I saw that, the bathing
outside,
suits.
Right, the bathing suits have it, and a lot of the surf tops, you know, have that in them, and for water sports and things of that nature, and for, you know, water skiing and surfing and outdoor activities. And also umbrellas and sunshades can have UV protective cloth, and you should look into that also. So all that helps, you know, because... you have to reduce, the key thing is you have to reduce the exposure to the ultraviolet rays, which cause short-term problems of burning and long-term problems of skin damage, both of the dermis and the epidermis, you know, the two layers of your skin. And this will show increasingly as you get older, because your skin is not tolerant of absorbing all of that without damage, solar damage. It's a real problem.
So, Doc, talk numbers here. Talk about SPF numbers. You know, the thing is, when you go into a drugstore, you see anything from the range of, like, nothing to 50 or 80. Tell us about that because, you know, I like a tan, so I want to protect myself, but I'd also like a tan. And, you know, I guess for kids it doesn't matter, so I always, like, slap 50 on them so that, you know, when I remember, because I'm terrible that way. But, you know, talk to us about that.
Well, you can pick out any strength you want. You know, you have to kind of see what works for you, allowing you some tanning without burning and then get the UV protection. I recommend across the board, most people will tell you a 30. Some people may disagree with that. But a 30 will afford you plenty of coverage, and you can apply that according to the labeling and follow the instructions, depending on the product of different manufacturers. If you want to go higher, you can. If people are extraordinarily fair, redheads, blonde hair, towhead, you know, very white, freckled people, they may want to use a higher UV light. That has to be determined by them. But we always recommend at least, for children, a 30-plus, and they have children's products available. And, of course, reapplication is important. Also, protection from water, especially if they're water sports, swimming. You want to also pay attention to the longevity of the application, depending on what environment they're in.
Doc, let me ask you a question before we go. We've got about 30 seconds. You know, you talk about the long-term effects of the short-term effects being a sunburn and sun damage that way, but long-term effects. And give me an idea of what you mean by long-term effects in regards to damage to the skin from the sun.
Well, the most critical issue is that of skin cancer. You can develop different types of skin cancers. Of course, basal cell cancer, squamous cell cancers, they're the most common. But the dreaded one is the melanoma. That can occur from exposure, especially increases your risk for a melanoma.
What does
melanoma
that look like, Doc? Can after the break, I guess, Joe, I don't want to, I know you only have 10 seconds left, but I wanted to ask him how to identify that.
You can answer that question.
Can we do that real quick? Doc, what is, if someone sees something on their skin, how do they identify whether or not it needs to be checked?
If you have a molar that is larger than 10 millimeters, and it's irregular shape, got different colors, and or it seems to bleed, you know, on touching it, or, you know, you rub the oil on or something of that nature, you know, that you want to have a doctor look at and maybe even biopsy. But if you're unsure about any mole that you see, 10 millimeters, you know, or larger, you know, see your primary care physician or dermatologist and have them look at it, and they'll decide what they should do with it.
Doc, thanks so much. Thanks so much for the practical information. It means so much, and certainly a tip like that could literally save a life. So, Doc, thanks. Thanks, and we'll be talking to you next week, pal.
Okay, Marla, take care.
All right, Dr. T, talk to you soon.
All right, we're going to have Jordan Freiter after the break.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness. From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed, could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
They just told us right away that we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Here's Doctors for Serious Injuries. I'm Joe Dockerty with my co-host, Marla Vittorello.
We're having a lovely co-host.
I'm making you work for it.
Come on.
Lovely isn't a strong enough word.
You're so sweet.
I'm trying to expand my vocabulary.
And I love this spring outfit you're wearing.
You like it? I got it nice and, I'm on a diet, and so, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be, wearing a tight shirt.
You're feeling good and you're looking good. That's what it is.
Thank you, Marla.
You're welcome. We're so pastel-y in here today.
Yes, we are.
The baby blues and lilacs.
Well, it's the time of year.
It is. Well, we're all celebrating the sun.
Exactly. And now we can do it safely. Thanks to Dr. Albert Talon.
Knock on wood. I know. Knock on wood.
Yeah. So we get. I'm going to introduce to the Delaware Valley Jordan Frieder, who's an attorney with Stark & Stark. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So Jordan's been on the program once before, and also want to send out, thoughts and prayers and a good, everything's okay. But Karen O'Donnell, who was going to be a guest on the program with Jordan from Stark & Stark, who's one of our Who's Who honorees from 2017, she spent a little time at the hospital this morning with her son, had a little, a foot injury or something.
Clavicle, right? Shoulder?
Yeah, it was a broken collarbone, I think. All the reports I've gotten is that he's okay.
Okay,
thank God.
Thoughts and prayers, Karen, and to your son, obviously, a quick recovery there. Well, he rides the
Philly Fanatic four-wheelers, but competitively.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Well,
yeah. Wow.
It's a
dangerous sport.
Yeah, but if he needs an attorney, we know exactly where to find one.
That's exactly right.
He's well protected. Yeah. Jordan, obviously, welcome to the broadcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, a little bit about, how you got to where you are.
So I've been with Stark & Stark for about a year and a half now. And for those who don't know Stark & Stark, we have about 100 attorneys, mainly focused on plaintiff's personal injury work. Karen and I are out of the Bucks County office out in Yardley. Our main office is in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, actually. But there's about 10 of us in Bucks County, and all the attorneys in Pennsylvania do catastrophic personal injury work in one way or another. Mm-hmm. Karen and I really focus on construction cases because she, for those who don't know, comes from a family of union iron workers.
Bingo.
She's well ingrained.
Yeah, I know a couple.
I know a couple.
I grew up with, basically not with Karen, but with her family and all that. So yeah.
And Karen's been in and around the construction industry her entire life. And not just iron workers. I mean, steel workers, plumbers, carpenters.
Oh yeah.
House must be beautiful. We're iron workers.
we're iron workers, so we build them strong and tall.
Yeah.
So right. Really, the best way to look, her house is probably
very tall. tall. Well, my dad was actually he was a bricklayer. And he did cement and block. He did a beautiful job.
Hardworking guys. Yeah. Love them. Building trades guys. So we go way back with Karen. She's awesome and has a ton of experience in that particular industry, which is where we all come from. So.
She does. I mean, her wealth of knowledge. I mean, she's taught me more than I ever could have imagined about just the ins and outs of not just, when people get hurt, but just the ins and outs of the industry and how
buildings get built,
really.
Speaking of the ironworkers and speaking of Karen, I want to jump in there. We had a presentation at the Ironworkers Union Hall last week. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, right? So we had a packed house. It was a couple of weeks ago. And one of the guys had worked night work. and he was sitting down and he was starting to doze off. She kicked him right in the leg.
Oh, my God, that's great.
She
snapped the ruler at him?
She went, boom, wake up, right? And, you know, we've been there before, so we know, the kids. It was
night shift is hard. I did a few night shifts in my days, right? Back in nursing.
Oh, yeah.
And that is not fun.
And we do appreciate those young guys coming in for the presentation, the injury presentation. Karen did an amazing job. So no doubt, you know, you got a good mentor there.
I can visualize her doing
it. It happened, and I'll tell you, what is amazing about it,
meet her.
And you know what, Jordan, when you get a chance, ask her, because she didn't just tap him. She got him in the right part of the foot, right? And, man, it brought the house down, of course. I cracked up. It was awesome. But,
my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, no question. And so, good mentor you got there.
I like her already.
No, she'll be on next time. So
that's awesome.
So tell me, go ahead.
Going back, I've been a lawyer, time flies, about 10 years now.
Wow.
So I got into the personal injury field about 3 years ago with another firm, but ended up at Stark & Stark.
It's a good place to end up,
it
right?
It is great. It's been great. Everything's been great so far. I mean, they really do a different kind of case. I mean, you know, the firm has all the resources at its disposal to really take these kinds of cases with these catastrophic injuries, and construction cases can be complex, obviously, because there's so many moving parts and different parties, and, you know, just the cases just get deeper and deeper and deeper with documents and evidence and
sure.
things like that. And with Karen's experience and the resources that our firm has to put those cases together, it's really been a great experience for me personally to be able to learn that side of the industry.
When you you started off, so I was on your website page, and you served initially as an assistant district attorney in Montgomery County.
That's correct. That was my first job out of law school.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was there for about 6 years, and as I progressed through, by the time I left, I was actually the chief of the sex crimes unit there, and
yeah.
left
wow.
just before they decided to arrest Bill Cosby.
No kidding.
So yeah, I just missed that party.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. When you're that kind of background, when you have that, does it give you trial experience that you know works well for you now?
Yeah. I mean, you're in court almost every day for one thing or another, and you know it's trial after trial after trial. Now in the supervisory position, I had a team of about varying 3 to 4 people. So I was overseeing their trials as well. A lot of times the cases involving small children got funneled into me, so I spent a lot of time doing that.
Wow.
Which was quite an eye-opener, and I'm glad I had that job before I had kids of my own.
Oh, yeah.
Because, the emotional impact of being involved in something like that is really heavy.
Right.
But I was able to kind of leave it at the office. Now
right.
I have a young child of my own and another one coming, and I think I would have looked at those cases a whole lot differently.
Totally different perspective once you have kids.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, it's amazing. Even when you're a kid, you never know. You always – I mean, this is just, general parenting, but you never realize why your parents are so, tough on you, or more importantly, they're careful. Man, being in that environment
– yeah. Well, sex trafficking and all that. I saw the movie Taken the other night. Did you guys? I don't know if you've seen that.
I did see it.
Okay.
I mean, it was what's his name, right? Who's the star of that?
I have no idea.
Well, evidently, I don't
see his
either.
Face, but I mean, I don't. You know, I was so emotionally moved
sure.
by this movie and what they did to these teenagers, and for those of you who have not seen it, they steal the teenager, they target the Americans in European countries, and then they basically drug them up, addict them to drugs, and then use them for sex trafficking.
Right. Well, I mean, and the crazy thing about that is
prostitution. It's awful.
And when you're dealing, so on the labor show, we've dealt with some, some guests that were in different industries, and that's a prevalent type situation. When you see that up close and real,
yeah,
it's got to sober you up huge.
You're probably like crawling out of your skin, trying to deal with these cases. It probably makes you want to rip your hair out.
It opens your eyes to just a different part of society that you don't even think about on a day-to-day basis. And unfortunately, you think you've seen the worst of it. And, you come
sex
into work.
Sex offenders are like the worst.
Into work the next day, and it's just something even worse than what you saw the day before.
How do you take that home? I mean, it's just got to be odd when you come home to your wife and you're like, I don't even believe it. How was your day? This is how mine was.
But, I mean, I think we can all sit here and be on the same page. I mean, it was something really easy to be passionate about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right, fighting right. a good fight. And
you have to put it in a compartment, though, by the time you get home. Or,
yeah.
You know, because you just can't, you know, I mean, just even after watching that movie, I called my niece three times. She's at University of South Carolina. I literally called her three times last night, panicked, called her again this morning. Where are you? You know, that kind of thing, because she's going to be studying in Italy this year. So.
Sure. Oh, no question about it. And that, by the way, that's how it started. I know.
That's what was going through my mind. So, you know, I can't imagine, you know, sitting actually down with a victim of a sex crime and trying to piece – you're fighting for them and to try to piece all these things together. And then I'm sure that not only is the family emotionally moved by everything, but they're really mad, upset. They want justice. And I'm sure you feel that way.
Yeah, and there's always a betrayal of trust involved. And a lot of times, you know, a child's too young to even really understand what's going on.
Oh, sure.
I know.
I mean, you have to have, you know, it's interesting. And I, you know, exploring this is interesting because we're gonna talk about after the break, which is about 5 minutes from now, we'll talk about how it translates into being in the courtroom when you have an injury case. And obviously, when you're dealing and you're in the DA's office and you're dealing with, you know, crime like that, absolutely horrendous stuff, and you're the person, you know, responsible for, you know, seeking justice, you know, on the front line. I'm sure that translates, you know, now when you have a severely injured person and their families on the line also in a different way, but definitely.
Yeah, there's really a lot of parallels there. I mean, we look at it as people who have suffered catastrophic injuries, whether on a construction site or otherwise. They've been victimized by the negligence of somebody else, whether somebody cut a corner, didn't follow safety regulation, you know, ran a red light, something like that. But, you know, this person, through no fault of their own, has been injured and their life has been torn apart and needs to be put back together. And that's really where the parallel comes in.
Well, the interesting thing is, so if you like Joe Krause always says, use theater of the mind. I'm getting anxiety thinking about that because I know what it must, or I can imagine. I don't know, but what it must be like to have, you know, an injured person whose life has been absolutely decimated, you know, due to a construction, you know, injury and accident, and the family's there. And, you know, the anxiety must be through the roof.
Especially, I mean, if it's a situation where it's apparent that somebody's not going to be able to return to work for, you know, an extended period of time or ever, for that matter, in the most unfortunate of situations. Nobody ever goes to work thinking like that, you know, this might be the last day that I ever work.
I know.
And what do you do? I mean, people have young kids. They have all kinds of future plans to think about, and everything just goes all up in the air at once.
And it's always when you're least expecting it, and it could be a life-changing event. And, you know, to sit there, not that I've had that personal experience where I've gotten injured at work like that, but, you know, they probably replay in their mind every single day what happened, what they could have done to prevent it. They could have blamed themselves or somebody else. And I can't even imagine.
Well, here's the thing. You know, speaking of Karen O'Donnell, we attend the Workers' Memorial Day. You ever get a chance?
I've gone.
Okay,
yeah.
So talk about.
That's the Filipash event, right?
That's the Filipash event. Talk about an emotional draining, absolutely, you know, right in your face type of day where you're, you know, we celebrate, you know, lives of individuals who have been lost on the job.
Yeah, and looking at the families and what they're going through. I mean, I remember the one I went to last year. They've been honoring some people who had died several years prior, and you can just see, you know, even over that period of time. I mean, it doesn't get any easier.
No, and what is amazing about that event is that, you know, we don't forget those individuals. You're dealing with individuals in some cases who came very close to that.
And we use that, you know, the most extreme cases, and that's how change happens. I mean, when people are held accountable for people dying or being seriously injured in the workplace, I mean, that's how safety regulations are changed. That's how things are made better for workers, not just in construction, but in all fields. But, you know, using an event like that, not only to honor the victims, but to hopefully have some good come out of it where, you know, things do change, laws get written, you know, OSHA regulations change, or employers just look at their sites harder and say, you know, this is what we need to do to ensure the safety of everybody that's working for us.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
Save another life.
You know, I have something to say about that, because today I was told that you have to wear these glasses now in a dentist chair, because there was a case that the dentist, a tool like the hook that they scrape your teeth with, actually fell out of the dentist's hand and into the eye of the patient. So when you go to the dentist from now on,
I just got the chills.
You're supposed to, yeah,
about that.
Yeah, and the person
like
is blind,
yeah.
Right? The person is blind, and it was a complete accident, you know, from the dentist. Obviously, it's a big suit, but you know, now they're requiring patients even for dental cleaning.
Well,
the
interesting thing about that is, unfortunately, changes don't get made until something happens.
Happens,
and
right?
That goes in a lot of different.
Right. We're going to be wearing bubble suits pretty soon.
So we're gonna have more with Jordan Frieder of Stark & Stark after the break.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
All right, I've gone through all the tracks. Just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So we're getting into college. I've got what it takes. Okay, I went through the practice sessions. I slept good. I feel good.
We will now begin the test. Please take out your pencils.
I got this.
We're all good at something. Maybe it's breakdancing or skateboarding or video games. Whatever you're good at, you had the skills to make it happen. And those same skills will help us get to college. Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
In May of 2000, Dave O'Carnikar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curves, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. I'm Joe Dougherty with my lovely co-host,
Bonnie Monica Nerona. That's so sweet of you.
Yeah, we're building it up as the show goes on.
We really are. I know. It's a lot of sunshine in here today.
Absolutely. And we're talking to Jordan Frieder of Stark & Stark. And before we go any further, Jordan, you know, I was a little nervous when you came on because I thought maybe you'd be a little nervous on the mic. And
I know. It seems like he never did this before.
Right. And, but, of course, as well as a district attorney a background, you also were a broadcaster in college.
I was a broadcast journalism major at Penn State and did a lot of radio work on the student radio station, The Lion, 90.7 FM. I hope it's still
cool.
In existence. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we had a studio right in the student center. We had our own box up at Beaver Stadium. We did the football game.
Really?
Yeah. Now,
Joe, we're the rookies in this room, yeah. Just
we
so
are.
You know that.
Yeah.
We're the rookies.
Yeah.
He's the vet. He's the true veteran. That's
doing,
awesome.
Doing play-by-play. Unfortunately, they weren't very good when I was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that made you a better announcer, I'm sure.
We had a lot of time to fill.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Joe Krause says, theater of the mind. Play-by-play on radio there's no greater theater of the mind than that.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, having that type of, and we're talking about the courtroom right now. You know, you having the experience in the DA's office dealing with some emotional stuff, but also being live on the radio up in Happy Valley on game day,
yep,
must be an unbelievable apprenticeship for being,
you know, about pressure.
But for being in a courtroom right now.
Yeah, and it was a kind of a natural transition. And Marla actually asked me before we went on the air, like how I got into law, and you know, I was coming down to the end of college and didn't really want to make a career out of the broadcasting thing, but
right,
I thought the skills I picked up, you know, with, you know, public speaking and writing would translate naturally into law, and thankfully it did.
Well, being put on the spot, I think, is huge, because when you're on radio, and that is common with being a lawyer, is once it's out, you can't take it back.
Yeah, so it's like something crazy happens in a football game. It's almost the same thing as a judge, you know, interrupting you and asking you a question on the spot that you better be ready with an answer.
Next thing you turn around and you go, that's
Jordan said.
First down.
Yeah.
First. What? Wait a minute. Time.
First and 10. Let's do it again.
I think I saw you in a movie one time or some kind. Was it court TV? You can't handle the truth. Was that you?
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah, I get mistaken for Jack Nicholson all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes George Clooney.
I thought it was Tom Cruise.
I can see that. I can see George Clooney. Yeah.
So let's talk about the types of cases. We talked about cases, obviously, with children involved and you know, where your background comes from. But also, let's talk about the types of personal injury cases that you deal with, catastrophic injuries and stuff like that. Yeah, we'll talk about the third party construction. Like Karen has a major union background, but the cases aren't, you know, they're not reserved only for union clients. If somebody gets catastrophically injured while at work, tell me what the components of a personal injury case, a third party case, is when somebody gets injured on a job where people might think it's only workers' comp, but it's not.
Right. So in Pennsylvania, you can't sue your own employer for negligence, and it's the one thing that, you know, most people don't know right off the bat.
Right,
you know,
of course.
Just file a lawsuit against your employer and go from there, but you can't. Your only remedy against them is to collect your workers' comp. In order for there to be a third party case, there has to be some other party involved.
That's responsible.
That's responsible for the negligence that caused your accident.
Right.
Whether it's on a construction site, you know, a general contractor, a construction manager, another subcontractor. Something like that, or in any other, you know, workplace, you know, if it was, you know, the negligence of, you know, another company that was involved, a management company, a products liability case where it was a defective product that injured you there, but you have to find that other prong to be able to have a separate lawsuit outside of your workers' comp claim.
So let's talk about, say, a misnomer where somebody gets injured on the job. If it's a workers' compensation case, it doesn't matter if it's their fault or not. You know, they get hurt in work, typically speaking.
Right.
Unless they walked on the job, this is totally theoretical, and took a sledgehammer and actually decided to smack their own foot on purpose, which, you know, only happened to me a couple times. But the point is, when you're talking about a third party case, you're talking about, for example, if you're working on a construction site and you're working for Contractor A, and you're walking, I guess on the first floor, there's a hole that's been dug by Contractor B or Subcontractor C, and you fall in that hole. It's that contractor's fault, and so that's where a lawsuit would come in.
Correct, and it could be the other contractor, and it could also be, a general contractor or a construction manager who has supervisory control over the site and, is responsible for making sure there aren't dangerous conditions like that and fail to somehow remedy it. So there's all different ways.
There's many things happening on a construction site, and it's so loud, and there's a lot of distractions. I imagine that there's probably injuries all the time.
There is. Unfortunately, we still haven't reached a point where, there's 100% protection for everybody.
Well, it's interesting, right? Yeah. And that's where Philippage comes in, and where I was going to say, at one point in the last segment that it's amazing today, even as much more now than ever, how important safety is and how individuals get injured on the job catastrophically. Still, I can remember working on the Frankfurt L when I was an iron worker, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, where all hell broke loose because, I think we were starting at 5 o'clock. It was like 5:15. We drove our high reaches down, but it was a damp day. And believe it or not, so the compressors were, pounding, everything was real loud. And all of a sudden you could hear screaming, and the third rail was never shut down.
Oh, man. Wow.
And that, by the way, that's like a tag out sometimes. And no one got killed, but somebody, because it was a damp day, the electricity arced off and blew one of the guys onto the tracks, but they never actually touched it. So, those kind of things still happen on an everyday basis.
Right, and usually it's something so simple like that, just, turning off the power to the third rail, making sure that, iron workers have a place to connect their harnesses and things like that. And you'd be amazed that sometimes things like that just don't get done for whatever reason.
Guys, people were in a hurry. Somebody doesn't show up that particular day.
Time, yeah, lack of power.
Right, and that's the one person on this particular they switched the switch. they changed the switch at the main power station, and it was a little issue that somebody didn't realize that it just didn't look familiar. When there is, and we're going to talk, they're not all catastrophic injuries, but they're all injuries that need to be taken seriously. When somebody gets injured on a job and they know they're hurt, what are the first steps they should take?
Well, the first thing you should always do is, and it usually just happens naturally, is to notify the employer that it's happened in order to preserve your workers' compensation claim. Now, if it's an accident that happens on a job site in front of a whole bunch of people, the employer will just find out typically automatically.
Right.
Now, there's some other scenarios where, someone's, let's say they're working retail in a stock room and they throw their back out or something, loading up a shelf, and they never tell their employer about it, and they just kind of let it go, but the injury gets worse and worse and worse. If you're hurt at work, no matter what the circumstances are, you should always notify your employer first. Now, in terms of searching out a third-party case, time is always of the essence. The earlier that we can get involved and start assessing your case, the easier it is to preserve evidence, to preserve things the way they were at the time you got hurt, especially on a construction site. Because if you get hurt while a building's being constructed – even though you got hurt, that construction project continues. That building's going to get built. You're not going to see those steel columns ever again.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. When the person's going off to the ER, the other guys are filling the hole with dirt and trying to cover up the
Well, not typically the coworkers, but you never know what can happen. One of the reasons why Karen O'Donnell and I did the injury seminar was that we want to give people the proper protocols for at the point of injury, what you should do. Why
take pictures?
Why it's
a lot of pictures, right?
But your point is well taken. Yeah. A lot of individuals, when they get hurt, especially in the back room, when it's a like in the stock room or something like that, even if it's not on a big construction site, or maybe it is, they don't want to cause trouble. They want to, just listen, let me suck it up and see what happens.
And rightfully so. I mean, people's first thought is, oh, my God, am I going to get fired?
Right, of course.
Right.
What are the consequences, what the potential consequences by doing that, if you do sustain an injury on a job and you choose to try to suck it up and keep it quiet, what can happen?
So if you don't report it to your employer within a certain period of time, you lose your right to bring a workers' compensation claim. In a third-party case for an injury in Pennsylvania, you have 2 years to bring a lawsuit. However, if you're going to go seek out an attorney after, you know, let's say like a year and 9 months, and there's only 3 months left to figure out what happened and try to, you know, piece it together in time to actually file a lawsuit, you're pushing it. And you'd be surprised. I mean, that 2 years really goes by quickly, especially if, you know, your first thought is, you know, trying to take care of your family, things like that. You may not even be thinking, you know, in terms of litigation that could help you along.
The other thing, too, with that is to just add, you know, we talked about job performance. You know, if you're used to functioning at a 10, now you get hurt and you're functioning at a 6 and you don't want to report the injury because you don't want to get fired, how about reporting the injury so that you don't, you know, get fired just for your lack of performance?
Well, right. And that's
the other thing.
That's another natural progression. Yeah. If you're hurt and you can't do your job, then your employer's going to want to know what's going on.
Yeah, your productivity goes down.
All right. We're going to have more with Jordan Freider after the break.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years. And you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
In May of 2000, Devo Karnikar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curves, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
The thing is, I would never give blood before. You know, before this happened to me, I thought of every excuse in the book, but I'm so thankful that everybody didn't think the way I did, or I would have died.
Like so many new mothers, Noelle needed blood during the birth of her son. Thanks to the American Red Cross and a donor like you, it was there. One donation, just an hour of your time, can help save up to 3 lives. Please sign up to give now at redcrossblood.org.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life, MatchingDonors.com. Help!
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. We're talking to Jordan Freider of Stark & Stark, and we're talking about catastrophic injuries and third-party cases. You know, you and Karen O'Donnell are specialists in this particular area, but you also do a number of other areas of you know, representation. Give us an idea.
The whole litany of personal injury, really, aside from construction accidents. I mean, we do a lot of motor vehicle accidents, slip and falls, and then various other kinds of cases that don't really fall in any specific category. It's really, you know.
But also medical malpractice, nursing home, yeah. Dog attacks. And you talk about MVAs, motor vehicle accidents. You talk about motorcycle and cars.
Yep.
When you're dealing with, you know, an injury victim of any type, you know, for the first time, you know, tell me, you know, take me through that initial interview. What are you dealing with when it's a serious injury?
Right. So a lot of times people will come in having never been down this road before.
Sure.
In any type of litigation, and they don't know what to expect. So we really, I mean, you know, one thing Karen and I always promise our clients, no matter what, is that we will always be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we explain to them the whole, you know, litigation procedure, and that, you know, unfortunately, the way civil law works, it's not a quick process. I mean, things take time to develop, but it takes that kind of time to put a really good case together and to get people what they deserve.
How do you handle, by the way, not to interject, but how do you handle when a client is kind of asking you to be dishonest on their behalf? Did that ever happen to you, where they just kind of want you to, like,
we tell
you know,
them
oh,
no.
Can you put this in, or can you, yeah. I just remembered, you know, like a month later this happened, or this was a part of the case and I forgot to tell you. Like, you can kind of sense.
Yeah, fortunately, I've never had a client ask me, and I don't think Karen either, to tell a lie for them. Obviously,
sure.
We will not do that under any circumstances.
Right.
You know, look, people, and you brought up a good point, remembering things down the road. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
And that is not necessarily somebody being untruthful. That's
right.
That's just the natural way people think. And, like, things are so chaotic at the time when someone gets hurt.
Sure.
It's not until things calm down and they've really had a chance to think about it that they might remember,
I guess,
from way back when. So we encourage people, like, look, if you think of something, if you find something that's helpful, please tell us. Yeah.
I guess my point is I'm talking about the initial intake, when you may reject that case if you think that person is lying or being, you know, dishonest or something. So it would more so be on your intake process and vetting the case whether or not you would take it.
Well, look,
if
we think someone's lying, that's a whole different story. That, fortunately, that doesn't happen.
Right.
The meteor
really
came
ever.
And hit me
on
the top of the head. I have a slight burn here. I need $5 million.
You're going to get that gut feeling.
Because we find, I mean, when we're honest with our clients, they return the favor, and they're pretty open and honest with
That's
us.
Awesome.
I mean, and you're dealing with, you know, a lot of catastrophic injuries. I mean, you know, clearly you're dealing with, you know, serious situations. When somebody's coming in under those circumstances, there must be a whole array of emotions. You know, they're dealing with injury, they're dealing with fear, they're dealing with family issues, finances and stuff like that. How do you, and I know you want to be realistic, you have to be, and I admire that, but also you're in some cases as much a counselor as you are, a lawyer.
Oftentimes, yeah. We have to take the emotion out of it. Because obviously we have a job to do, and we have to represent everybody to the best of our ability. So we really try to get people to see through that, and that, you know, as emotional as it is, I mean, your case is based on facts and evidence. So we try to get people to, you know, we'll take care of the legal stuff,
right.
You know, so you don't have to worry about that part of it.
Sure.
You know, what we try to get people to focus on is doing whatever they can to get their lives back together, you know, getting the treatment they need, you know, getting, you know, any benefits that they might be entitled to, getting all of that stuff in order so that they don't have to worry about what we're doing to get their case, you know, ready for a settlement or ready for trial, whatever it might be.
They just have to tell their story and start piecing it together.
Correct.
You know, when you talk about the when you talk about, you know, somebody coming in and they're injured, is there a cost involved for your services?
No, none whatsoever. So everything we do is on a contingency basis. So there's never
no out of pocket cost.
Never any money due to us, you know, at an initial meeting or thereafter.
Mm-hmm. And so many people don't know that. I mean, we talk to people all the time, and they're afraid to retain a lawyer. They feel like, you know, when you shoot out an email or you make a phone call, you're going to get this astronomical bill. So dealing with you and your firm, it's so refreshing to know that you guys can help these clients, and you know, nothing comes out of pocket unless they're awarded.
Right, we're not sending any bills to anybody, and any costs associated with going forward with a case, you know, we front all the costs.
Mm-hmm. When you're
Joe wanted to go on a shopping spree at King of Prussia.
Yeah,
would you front all those costs?
I avoid that mall at all costs,
especially around Christmas time.
Yeah, really.
There's a great store in there, by the way.
I see that, you know, a lot of times with injured workers, you're dealing with individuals that don't know much except for they're injured and afraid. And how often when somebody comes in on a third-party case, do they really not understand third-party cases or, you know, much about what's going on?
Well, the reality is people get their basis of information from TV, especially from social media. And, you know, there's a lot of disinformation out there about how these things really work. You know, people watch shows like Law and Order and stuff, and everything, you know, wraps itself up in a nice little bow. But what you don't see is all the work that it takes to get there and everything involved. And that, you know, look, in every case, there's strengths and there's weaknesses, and it all has to be addressed.
When you also Stark & Stark has a workers' compensation. They also do work. Workers' compensation, particularly in Jersey, am I correct?
Correct, yes. In Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Okay, so you're able to handle both sides of the case, which is a real important part of dealing with, you know, when you're injured on the and there's a third-party case, being able to handle both sides and coordinate both sides. Is that correct?
And we can handle both, and we do handle both. And the workers' compensation cases tend to move a lot faster because that's all happening in real time. You're getting paid soon after you get hurt.
But there's a benefit to being able to handle both and coordinate that.
Exactly, because they do kind of go hand in hand, and you have to make sure that nothing happens in the workers' compensation case that's going to endanger the actual lawsuit.
Jordan Freider of Stark & Stark, I want to thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for being here.
Contact information at Stark & Stark.
Stark & Stark in our Yardley office. Our number is 267-907-9600.
The website is?
The website is www.stark-stark.com.
All right. I want to thank you so much for being our guest.
Very good. Thanks, Jordan.
For my lovely co-host, Marla Vettorello, I'm Joe Dougherty.
You're so sweet.
You've been listening to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good day. When I was young, so much younger.